May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. What does it mean to have heavenly authority? Imagine having the power of angels and archangels right there at your fingertips. Imagine having the ability to speak a universe into existence. Imagine being entrusted with the very fate of all who were and are yet to be. Well, as Americans, we're actually pretty accustomed to the idea of being top dog. Google runs the web from Silicon Valley. The president is called the leader of the free world. And Bill Gates, well, he is the number one philanthropist in the entire world. And as much as we love an underdog, and our hope really is that we would dream big, work hard, and finally get to the very top. In fact, Bono from U2 says that there's a huge difference between America and Ireland, where he's from. He says that in America, a person will point up to a big mansion and say, "You see the guy who lives in that house? Well, I'm going to be him someday." Whereas a good Irishman would say, "You see that guy who lives in that big house? I'm going to get him someday." But when it comes to spiritual things, we all start at the bottom. No one is on top. Even on a scale from Hitler to Mother Teresa, everyone pales in comparison to Jesus. Not even the blessed saint from Calcutta. No one is righteous. No, not even one, St. Paul quotes in his letter to the Romans. So we all need to own up to the fact that we are all sinners. That means that no amount of trying real hard to keep your vices in check, no amount of charitable work that you do, no amount of praying, Bible reading, or church going is going to score you more points on that scale of heavenly power and authority. No one is going to be able to earn a ticket to paradise or buy a stairway to heaven. So we all need to grow up and face the harsh reality that as good as we think that we are, none of us starts where God wants us to be. This is where the ascension comes in. Jesus Christ returns to heaven after spending 40 days after the resurrection, getting his disciples ready for the next phase in salvation history. And something very important happens. Jesus' arrival at the right hand of the Father sets our Lord up in a place of glory and power. Having spent 30-odd years in humility and submission to the Father, he now is exalted, granted a name that's above every other name, and rules alongside his heavenly Father. That means all authority is his. It doesn't belong to Kim Jong-un, thank goodness. It doesn't belong to Vladimir Putin. It doesn't belong to Apple or Microsoft. It belongs to Jesus. Jesus is in control. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the master of the universe, not He-Man. Or as one of my less sensitive fellow seminarians once sang, he's the dictator of everything. The lordship of the resurrected Christ is the very linchpin of the good news, according to the Right Reverend Dr. N.T. Wright. Because without Jesus in control, then nothing is truly in control. The chaos of sin swirls around us. The struggle between rebellious humans against God, one another, and even our planet is never-ending. Whether our man-made CO2 that is now just starting to be recognized as a link to decreasing our plant's ability to absorb nutrients from the soil, thus disrupting the whole food chain, even on a microscopic level. Or the amalgamating mini-moon that we have up in orbit about us that's threatening our communications and navigational satellites as that space junk just continues to coagulate. All that while planes are still in the air. And then add on top of that, wars, racism, classism, and then the waning of any religious affiliation at all, let alone Christianity and the culture at large, leaving us to wonder why kids bully one another and shoot up their schools. If Jesus isn't in control, then indeed no one is. We are mere atoms careening into one another, leaving atomic devastation in the environment, in the larger society, in our personal relationships, and even between us and God. But Jesus is in charge, and he applies his heavenly authority in two indispensable ways. First, he prays for us. The writer to the Hebrews describes the exalted Christ making intercession on our behalf. He is our great high priest in heaven, just as he was our atoning sacrifice on earth upon the cross. Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," on Calvary. And that same prayer is ever being lifted for us even now. Our risen Lord wants us to have a clean slate. No baggage, no burden, no more guilt or shame. He wants us to experience the genuine freedom that forgiveness can bring. Second, Jesus sends us the Holy Spirit. While Christ was with us, the Spirit was waiting to be granted. And I can imagine the Holy Spirit just chomping at the bit, ready to be released. Perhaps that's why 10 days after the ascension on Pentecost, the Spirit's coming was accompanied by the sound of a rushing wind and tongues of fire settling on the disciples like sparks coming from the tires of a dragster on the road. This is the same Spirit that vivified Jesus that very first Easter Sunday. And Jesus grants us that same gift of the Spirit, dwelling within us from the very first moment of faith. God's own presence, the very power of heaven, abiding within our hearts. The Spirit within us and among us is why we have the power to believe, to live holy, to love wholeheartedly, to perceive divine truth, and to long for the same things that our God longs for. The Spirit is the down payment that proves that we are adopted by God as his sons and daughters. Jesus wants us to live with the liberty of being heirs, fellow heirs with him of all that's been granted to him. That includes the resurrection. While the new creation has taken seed in us by faith, bringing us new life from within, we await the full promise of that new life when our resurrection bodies will clothe our transformed spirits, making us into renewed souls. Not unlike when God first breathed his Spirit into that clay statue that he called Adam, and he became a soul. Jesus has all power. And he shares that power by interceding for us and giving us his Spirit. This is the remarkable spiritual chain of events that the ascension has set up for us. We can have genuine forgiveness. We can truly fight and win the battle against temptation, against sin, and ultimately, when Christ returns, against death itself with our resurrection. I have to agree with N.T. Wright. Jesus being in control is indeed good news. Because our Lord has been entrusted with the very power of heaven, so we can be assured of our forgiveness, the power to live right, and the promise that we will experience the same full resurrection that our Lord did 2 millennia ago. May we all be inspired to let our hearts ascend with our Lord and to let his intercession and indwelling Spirit bring his salvation to bear every day of our lives. Let us pray. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that as we believe in your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to have ascended into heaven, so may we also in heart and mind there ascend, and with him continually dwell, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.